Welcome to Real Romance, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another episode of Real Romance. We are a lovely movie-watching couple, and we watched a couple of lovely movies.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No.
Should I start all over?
I mean, if you want to.
Hey, all you kill cats and kittens.
Stop.
For real this time. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Real Romance. I'm Robert, also known as Bamfing Bob, and with me again is my lovely wife, Brittany.
Hello.
And this time is another theme episode of Real Romance where we talk about movies starring females that we like.
Damn, do you know what a female is?
I forgot the word for an actress. By the way, guys who like refer to women as females are always like the jerkiest type of guys. Have you noticed?
I don't speak to men.
This is true. And you better keep it that way.
They're not worth it, because you know what happens when you speak to strange men?
Murder.
Exactly.
See, you've been listening to too many podcasts.
But what if I heard a podcast, and there was an uncaught guy, okay, a mystery man.
Ooh, a man of mystery.
And then I was approached by a man of that description, and I turned him in, and the police caught him, and I solved the Zodiac Killer. Dun, dun, dun!
That is your goal in life, isn't it?
It's my dream.
Just to, like, almost be killed by a serial killer?
No, I don't want to almost be killed. I
want to,
so like,
you do want to be killed?
I want 100% not be killed. Not almost. Like, not, like, 90%, like, I get beat up and, like, go to the hospital. No, like, I want to see him on the street, call the police, be like, that guy's trying to kidnap people, and then they catch him. That's the dream. I don't want to be the target
but
at all.
Honey, you can't do that if you spend all day in the house.
Well, I have windows, and I just watch outside.
Yeah, they're going to commit it right outside the house. In the park.
I told you about that strange car that parked at the neighbor's house, right?
Was it a murderer?
I don't know, but I took down their license and model and make of their car anyway.
Because fuck them.
Well, what if the police come to your house and they go, ma'am, did you see anything weird yesterday at 11:30?
And you're like, I'm the weird one. Look at what I got.
No, and then
that's
I'm
what
like,
it's gonna look like.
And then I'm like, yeah, there was a strange van parked in front of the neighbor's house. Here's all the information. Thank you. I solved a murder case. Dun dun dun.
Are you telling the cops dun dun dun? But like, hey, your job is dun dun dun. Go
no.
home.
No, that's the sound effect in the Made for Lifetime movie.
Oh.
That they make about me. I want to be played by someone that's 23 because I want to look young in the movie. I want everyone to think I'm so young and pretty.
Well, they already will.
You mean when they find my body?
Yeah. You're going to have the sexiest corpse in the garbage dump.
That would also be a really good dream, just to play a corpse on a TV show. I think that would be fun. What, like, you don't really, like, act? Because I'm not really an actress, but
it's like, do your impression of a dead person.
No, but you're just, like, a victim on a TV show. Maybe you have, like, a scream, and that's, like, your only line, and then they stab you, and then you die. I think that's a pretty good little side gig for someone that's not actually an actress.
You know Bugs Bunny did that, and he almost won an Oscar, right?
You're saying that I could play a murder victim on, like, NCIS and win an Oscar? Is that what you're saying?
Daytime many Emmys, guest stars. It's literally a thing.
It's the dream. I don't actually want to be an actress. I just want to be a murder victim.
You want to be a victim.
On like, okay. Law and Order SVU.
We can make that happen.
And Olivia Benson's like, wow, they dismembered her and put her body in 5 different places. We're going to catch this guy. Dun, dun.
Back on track, now that we've kind of rambled a bit. You remember maybe, what was it, a month or two ago?
It was in August.
Okay. Well, we did a podcast about a lot of actors we really love and movies that they've been in that we haven't seen. Well, we wanted to do that again, only with actresses, because we figured we like actresses too. We're not, no, sexist. We covered a variety of female leads. Some of the roles they were in were leading roles, while others they were kind of, you know, side characters.
See, the problem is a lot of the movies we had seen already, and we were trying to do movies we hadn't seen. So it was kind of hard to find movies where some of these people starred in, because we'd seen most of their starring roles already. Thus, some of the movies are a little light on our lead actresses there. Not because they aren't in stuff as lead actresses, simply because we had already seen them.
No, Kate McKinnon's a great example, because most of the things that she's in are like ensemble comedies with female casts.
And we've seen a lot of them.
We've seen a lot of them. So from the top, what movies are we going to talk about today?
So we're going to talk about Underworld, Mother, Troop Zero, All the Creatures Were Stirring, and Bombshell.
I like it. It's quite a wide variety of films. To start off, let's go with Underworld. We watched this because
Kate Beckinsale.
And because it's spoopy season.
It is spoopy season.
And we love vampires and werewolves and monster movies, and so we thought this might be a really fun one.
This is one of Kate's earlier roles, is it not?
Yeah. This was right as she was starting to really gain popularity.
And that woman is so pretty. Like, even now, like, what kind of skincare is she using? Because I want some. I probably can't afford it. But she's so pretty. She's kind of eccentric, but I like it. But this movie is basically about her. She's a vampire, and vampires hunt down werewolves to kill them. There's, like, a blood feud going on. So basically, her character is hunting down some werewolves, and they turn around, and the werewolves fire these, like, sun bullets at them. And she realizes they were, like, following this human. And she starts down this kind of rabbit hole of, why were they following this human? Why would they open fire on us? And it turns out that one of the vampires was helping the werewolves. Like, that's just the beginning of the story. There's so much more going on, and she finds out she's been lied to basically since she became a vampire.
Right, because there's a lot of lore between the two factions about why they started the war and how they became what they are and all this stuff. And on the vampire side, they believe that the werewolves started it. And on the werewolf side, they're like, well, obviously the vampire started it. But turns out the werewolves were right this time. The vampires definitely freaking started it. If you're kind of indoctrinated like that, you don't believe.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away, like, the whole why they started it and all that. But it has been out for a while.
And there's been, like, 3 or 4 sequels. Like, obviously, if you were going to watch Underworld, you probably would have watched it by now.
So, to be fair, a werewolf fell in love with a vampire. And the vampire's dad, who is, like, the guy that Kate Beckinsale's like, oh, he's like a father figure.
He's the greatest.
He killed her in front of the werewolf because she was pregnant with a vampire-werewolf hybrid. And that's basically how the feud started. Ta-da!
Yeah, kind of like Romeo and Juliet, but with vampires and werewolves. And
by the end of the movie, we have a werewolf-vampire hybrid, and I think we'll watch the other two. I mean, I really liked it. Yeah. It had some definitely early 2000s CGI, but overall, I thought they did a really good job, all things considered. I mean, we have a lot better CGI now, so they definitely relied heavily on, like, blue overtones and, like, darkness.
Mm-hmm. I like the werewolves. I like the way they made them look. Kind of the choreography was really, really fun. But if I'm being perfectly honest, I actually preferred the way things were handled in movies like Van Helsing and Blade. I think they were just a little bit more enjoyable for me. I don't know what it was about Underworld.
Nobody likes Van Helsing except for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, critics hated Van Helsing, and so it didn't get the sequel it deserved. Kate Beckinsale is also in that movie.
Yes, she is.
But she gets killed off, which is unfortunate because her character was the best character. So how do you think she did in this movie?
I thought she was the best part of the movie. I thought there was a lot of good things happening with the plot, fun characters, but it was very 2000s. But she made it a little bit more interesting.
There were only my big complaint is there were only like 2 female characters in this. There weren't really a lot of females. But Michael Sheen was also in this, and he did a great job too. Like, I would say that Kate Beckinsale and Michael Sheen were the highlight of this movie.
Yeah, Michael Sheen was really, he looks really young in this. Because he plays a werewolf.
I mean, it was 2003, so yeah.
And then, like, within a decade, he goes on to play Arrow on Twilight and New Moon and all that.
Yeah.
Not like Arrowverse, I meant like ARO.
I know, I was like,
wasn't on Arrow.
I was sitting here like, I'm pretty sure that's Stephen Amell, but okay.
No, because there's like Arrow and Chaos and some other dude that we don't remember.
I don't think it's pronounced Chaos.
Chaos.
What would you give her? Should we rate the movie or her performance?
I think we should rate performances.
Okay.
As a performance, I'd give it a 3.5 or 4.
I'd give it a 4. I think she did a really good job. This is one of her earlier movies, at least one of her earlier popular movies.
Mm-hmm. And apparently it was good enough for them to start a franchise on it. I mean, they at least made a trilogy. What, 3 or 4 of them?
There's 4 movies.
Okay. So yeah, they made four of them, so she did good enough for people to want and spend money on three more movies.
I mean, my dad loves the movies. He watches them literally on repeat all the time.
That's because he loves Kate Beckinsale.
He does love Kate Beckinsale.
I had never actually seen Underworld, and so this was a really fun experience knowing that that's one more monster movie under my belt.
You know they're making, like, another one, or they're talking about making an Underworld. I guess there are five Underworld movies.
There's five?
Apparently there's five. I didn't know there was five.
Well, gonna have to go watch four more, I guess. All right, so next on the list is very, very different. This one is called Troop Zero. And this one was a movie that, did it come out on Amazon Prime or Hulu?
Yes, Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, okay. So, the basic premise of the movie of Troop Zero is there is a young girl, she's probably around 9 or 10 years old, and she really wants to go to space. She's obsessed with aliens and space and astronauts. The local Bird Scout troop, they get told that if they win the Jamboree, they get to record the message on the golden record that gets sent into space, which was apparently a real thing from NASA back in the day, where they got a lot of people from different countries to speak onto this golden record, and then they shoot it into space. So if aliens find it, they can play the record on their totally working record player. The main character, Christmas, her name is Christmas, she hears this and freaks the hell out. She says, I definitely want to have my voice recorded and sent into space.
She's like obsessed with space.
Yeah, but she's also very weird. And so when she goes and asks the stuck-up Girl Scouts, hey, let me join your troop, I want to get recorded and shot into space, they essentially tell her to piss off. So in response to that, she's like, well, screw it, I'm going to make my own troop and we're going to do it ourselves.
So Viola Davis is her dad's legal assistant who basically ruined her life over a man, and so she never went to law school. So she now works for Jim Gaffigan's character, who never seems to get paid. Like, he's the only lawyer in town and he does a lot of legal work because apparently everybody in this town's like a felon. But he never gets paid by anybody, and he loses all the time. So, and Christmas's mom is dead, and so now they're,
they're very depressed about it. But Viola Davis's character, she does act like a mother figure.
Reluctantly.
Yeah, and she's like, ugh, fine, whatever. She has to go out and find at least three other girls, because troops are made up of four. And so she has to find...
Well, it doesn't have to be girls.
Right,
because her best friend is a little boy named Joseph, and he joins the troop.
He's like, I want to be a Bird Scout, right?
Bird Scout's not a real thing, right?
No, that is not a real thing. I think it's just kind of made up for the movie. They pull in this one-eyed girl who's just really awkward, and she has a cardboard eye patch over her glasses.
She's obsessed with Jesus.
Yeah, she's very much a Jesus freak.
And then they pull in this little girl who's a bully. Her name is Hell No. That's not a real name.
Yeah.
But okay. And then her best friend or sidekick, Smash.
Yeah.
Who doesn't talk much.
Yeah. She's kind of like a Hulk character. She just runs around and
smashes things.
Breaks shit. Yeah.
And basically, they all have to earn a badge in order to go to the Jamboree.
And they get the leftovers, right?
Yeah, there's not very many good badges to earn.
So a lot of the movie is them going around and trying to earn badges. Meanwhile, there's this feud going on between these misfits and this established troop that has all the accolades and all the fanciest stuff.
The Bird Scout motto is to be kind and ladylike and all this stuff. And
sweet.
And here is this quote-unquote perfect troop.
They're shitty.
Just being the most garbage people.
Oh, they're the worst.
And they make fun of the other troops so bad. And poor little Christmas, she pees on herself sometimes.
Yeah, she started wetting herself when her mom died. And it's nothing that has anything to do with her. It's just
it was traumatic.
She wets the bed and she pees on herself. And it's really sad. But over the course of the movie, Joseph, he gets the beauty merit badge by doing all the lady's hair. Smash, she learns that she can also fix things, so she gets the repair badge or something,
I guess,
like that.
The one little girl,
the one-eyed lady sells cookies, even though she's totally terrified to sell cookies.
She throws up after. It's okay.
But she got the badge. That's what matters. She sold a single box of cookies, so she got a badge.
And Hell No got a activity badge.
Physical fitness, obstacle course type stuff. But the one who has the hardest time is Christmas, and she decides that she wants to bake a cake, and that turns into a big food fight that causes them to get suspended. And can we just talk about the troop leader for the hoity-toity girls?
Mm-hmm.
She acts like she has everyone's best interest at heart, when really she's just mean.
Mm-hmm. Miss Massey.
Yeah. Miss Massey's a jerk. And she's finding all sorts of ways to try to keep them from competing. She says Viola Davis is a criminal.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
She kind of is.
She got arrested for being a felon, whatever.
But the charges were dropped. It's all
right. Right. He's getting onto them for having boy on the scout troop, for starting food fights, for being uncouth. And in the end, nothing that she does works. I hated her so much.
All right, so how would you rate Viola Davis's performance?
I would give it like a 4.5.
I agree. Viola Davis always kills it.
She and Jim Gaffigan were just great.
All right, so the next movie we watched was Mother, starring Jennifer Lawrence. That movie was weird.
This was a fucking roller coaster of a movie, okay?
Look, I know it's an allegory for the Bible, and I get the allegory. I'm sorry, an allegory should also still make sense in the movie. You shouldn't have to completely understand and research an allegory to understand exactly what happened in the movie.
Right, this is like so art house. I go into it, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of following along. And then they throw this weird ass curveball and you're like, what is going on? The movie itself, what is it about?
Javier Bardem is an author who's struggling to write his next book. And his wife, who is significantly younger, played by Jennifer Lawrence, is completely rebuilding this house. That was like, I guess it was like his childhood home, I think.
Right.
And it had burned in a fire. And so she has literally built this thing from the ground up practically.
Yeah. And it's in the middle of nowhere, but she's furnished it herself. She's reworked all the wood. She's painted it. It looks immaculate. It's a very good looking house, but it is still in the end stages of getting finished.
One night I think they're like having dinner or something, and someone knocks on their door. And it's just this strange man who says someone told him this was a boarding house. But come to find out, he's literally just here to stalk this author, basically.
Right, he's a big fan.
It gets really weird. He gets sick. And Jennifer Lawrence is like, I don't want him to stay here. But her husband's like, no, he's going to stay here for the night. And she walks in and he like has like a giant wound on his side. And then the next morning his wife shows up. And she's just asking all kinds of questions. Like, when are you going to have kids? Do you have, like, are you
How's your sex life?
Yeah, all this like, weird stuff.
We just fucking met, lady. Okay, first of all.
Chill out.
You're in my area. And second, why are you so nosy?
And this lady, she ends up breaking this, like, crystal thing that Javier is obsessed with. The kids show up, and one of them kills the other kid.
But they're not kids. They are adults.
Yeah.
But we find out that since the dad is sick, it's actually a terminal thing. And they're fighting over the will because the one kid gets nothing.
Doesn't get nothing. He gets a trust that's controlled by his brother.
Right.
And because he's like, not responsible.
And he's like, that's bullshit. He ends up killing his brother. And so he goes on the run. And meanwhile, everyone goes to the hospital. And unfortunately, they're not able to save
him. And they leave the mother, Jennifer Lawrence, by herself. They come back and she's like, oh, thank God they're gone. But then apparently her husband, the author, just like invited
everybody
to have like a wake in the house. And they like break her sink.
It's not even just like a little bit, oh, sorry, that was an accident. Like, it starts with little things like them intruding places where they don't belong.
Painting the house.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but then it goes into like, I'm painting your house, I'm breaking your stuff, I'm stealing your things. Horrible stuff.
And so they finally kick them all out, and they get in this fight about it, and
it turns into makeup sex.
And then the next morning, she's like, I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant. And it turns out they are, and it flashes forward 9 months. They've been having a good time. He's been writing.
Yeah, like, she was his inspiration, and he's actually a poet. And so he's going to be writing poems, and it's just, like, the most earth-shattering poem on the planet.
So he publishes his book. All these people show up at his house after she's fixed this celebratory dinner for just the two of them, and then they all start coming into the house, intruding, and she's literally 9 months pregnant, trying to kick people out of the house, and she's freaking out, and then they start tearing up the house, and then it turns into this, like, apocalyptic scene.
Right, it's just things are on fire, people are dying.
There's police shooting things, and there's, like, these zealots, and it's crazy.
And at the very beginning, she's like, this happened so bad at the first time, please, if you're gonna entertain your people, do it outside, do it on your own time, and then when you come back in the house, you're gonna be alone and we're gonna celebrate. But then he just can't control himself, and that's why things just burst from the seams.
And at the end, she ends up, she has the baby. He's like, I have to show them. And she's like, no, this is my baby.
I'm not letting you touch my son. Period.
And he's like, it's my son too. And then she falls asleep and he takes the baby out to show everyone and they kill the baby and they eat his flesh and drink his blood.
Yeah, it's not only that. They like, they pass the baby around like,
and they accidentally, it's fucking
crowd surfing, and then they just like tear it apart.
And
she's having like, literally she just had her child. So naturally she is like having the biggest meltdown. Fucking conniption fit because he did it. And he's like, no, 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 I'll fix it.
I mean, rightfully so.
Well, we'll make it better. We can't make his death a sacrifice in vain.
Yeah, and
it's just the worst.
It's just a whole metaphor for God and Adam and Eve and Jesus. And she's supposed to be Mother Earth. And it's just a whole, like, thing.
Can I just say that this movie made me so fucking mad for Jennifer Lawrence's character.
She just made everything so pretty and then just people wrecked it.
And it starts little things, like in little annoyances where he's like talking over her or like saying things, oh yeah, sure, that's fine, that's fine. And you can clearly see that she's not okay with it.
But she loves him, and so she's trying to let him be himself.
Right, but she also is very submissive, like he does things and she just goes along with it because he won't have it any other way. So when things kind of snowball way out of control,
he doesn't even notice her opinion.
Yeah, like, he doesn't give a shit about her.
No, he doesn't. All. He doesn't love her at all. Not really.
I think in the movie at one point they say, you don't love me, you love that I love you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really, like, strong...
It's such a man thing.
It's a strong statement, which is 100% true in this case. So Jennifer Lawrence.
I mean, she did a great job portraying it. I just thought it was a really weird movie.
Yeah, it was definitely artsy, but there were some really good horror elements to it. If I hadn't have read into it, I would have eventually come to the conclusion that there were some biblical parallels, but I don't think that it was really as cut and dry.
These artsy directors, they just always think they know so much.
But like, it was very artsy.
Like, no one cares about your artsy biblical film.
But yeah, I really did feel for Jennifer Lawrence's character, and she portrayed it so well.
I mean, the actors did a great job. I just think that the director was just, and the writer was just... I didn't like the story.
I think they did what they set out to achieve, but here's, I just didn't like that.
Here's what I get from it. I think it was very pretentious. I think that the writer / director set out to make this film, and in their head, like, is this great and beautiful art piece? And they're just a pretentious snob who thinks they know better than the rest of us.
And there's, like, people in the audience wearing a monocle, and they're like, the Bible.
Right, and I think it's the kind of movie where people are like, oh, you didn't get it? You must not be very smart.
I bet you had to Google it, didn't you? And it's like, bitch, yes, we did. I also Googled the end of Tenet and Inception. Screw me, right?
Like, it's called research.
If you don't understand something, you try to learn more about it. I think the sign of a good movie is that everyone can walk away and be like,
get something out of it.
That was interesting, without having to, like, ask yourself 100 questions and walk out with a headache. I feel like this movie would have absolutely given me a headache walking out of the theater. I'm glad I watched it at home.
I would have been mad if we paid the money to see this movie.
Yes. Back on point. Jennifer Lawrence, I think her portrayal was just about as adult and mature as one could hope for someone who's been in the industry as long as she has.
I suppose.
Because she's been a movie star for, what, about 10, 12 years now? Hunger Games was out in 2012, so it's been 8 years since then.
I mean, I think she did a couple other things. She did, like, Winterbone before that.
She was in Silver Lining Playbook.
I think she did a really good job in that movie.
She was in 4 different X-Men movies, which were very hit or miss.
Mostly miss.
She did the whole franchise of the Hunger Games. I've seen a lot of the things that she's been in, but I think this one particularly actually showcased her emotional range as an actress a lot more than some of the others did. A lot of others just played her off as, oh, she's an action hero, or oh, she's a spy. But this one was like, she's just a vulnerable woman who takes pride in her work and really loses control of a situation. As a performance, I'd give her like a 4.5 or 5.
I'd give her a 4 and think it's tainted by my hate for the movie. But
yeah, it frustrated the shit out of me, but I can't knock her performance for it. I can only knock the the writers. What the hell, guys? So the next one was weird.
I liked the next one. I just want to premise it with that. I know you didn't particularly care for
it. No, it's not that I didn't care for it. It's just, it's not what I was expecting, okay? It's called All the Creatures Were Stirring, and it is a Christmas horror anthology that is tied together by a couple who are lonely on Christmas Eve, and they're like, well, let's go to the theater. And there's a small... Well,
they're not really a couple. They're
no,
just...
No, there are a couple of single people who would have spent it apart, but instead they're like, well, let's do something together to kind of be less lonely for the holidays. And so they go into this little indie theater. Talk about art house. Kind of like a one-man show, only there's like only three or four people in the production. For each piece of the anthology... Why are you laughing?
The lady in the movie.
Oh, God. Okay, so for each piece of the anthology, they have a different section of this play. And there's this funny... It's not even a funny lady. She's literally just in an outfit. What is so funny about her?
I don't know. She just seemed really funny.
She looks very kind of...
She looks like Mad Hattery.
Unusual. Yes.
So she comes out. She...
She changes the cue card.
Yep, and then she goes back into the door.
And there's three people, and they go and they start their little sketch. And then it transitions into the actual movie anthology. And what are they, about, what, 15 minutes long a piece or so?
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe 10 or 15.
Because the movie was only an hour and 20, and I think there was only, like, four or five of them in there. Mm-hmm. So
the first one is about an office party.
Where the janitor starts killing everyone.
In a nutshell, pretty much. It's just all the office people, they're pitted against each other because so-and-so is cheating on their husband. You know, there's rumors that they're going to be laying people off. And so they're talking smack about each other. And there's surprise deaths and it's all very gory.
I loved it.
Yeah,
it was. That was a really good one. I would say it was probably the best one.
Right. The white elephant gift passing, too, was pretty an interesting concept to have them kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts back to them in the theater, and the next one...
Dash Away All?
Yeah, that sounds... I thought it sounds right. But there's this guy, and he's trying to buy last-minute gifts. Oh, yeah,
I like that one.
I like that one a lot, too. There's a guy who's trying to buy gifts for his family. He notices that there's something, you know, his doors are unlocked, or his doors are open, and so he gets out of his car to shut the back doors.
And he locks his keys and his phone in the car.
And there's only one other vehicle in the parking lot, and it's this old creepy van, and there's two ladies inside.
And it's Christmas Eve. All these stories take place on Christmas Eve.
All on Christmas Eve. He's like, hey, can I just use your phone? I have to call a tow truck and maybe my wife. Oh, okay, cool. And we discover that his birthday is actually on Christmas Day, much like my uncle. He's like, oh, well, I've really got to go. You know, there's a tow truck coming. It'll be like 30 or 40 minutes. I'll just wait outside. It's not that cold. Well, the van drives up near him.
And they're like, we won't let you freeze to death. And they give him like a scarf. And they're like sitting there and they're like, come drink with us and blah, blah, blah.
And turns out it's a ploy to get him to kind of drop his guard. And they cut him and they do a little symbol on his wrist or something. And they do a spell. And we find out that these girls have actually been tied. They've been tethered to this ancient shadow beast.
Which thing. Lives in the van.
And it's really quite scary looking. And
you can't go more than 20 feet from the van.
Well, from the beast itself.
Which lives in the van.
Right. But the one lady is like, oh my God, we're free. And she tries running away only to discover that the
ritual isn't complete yet.
Right. And so it absolutely just rips open her guts and just consumes her. So the other lady finishes the ritual and she tries to explain it as best she can. She says, look, I'll even drop your presents off at home. Like, what's your address? And she steals his phone and has it direct him home. And he's just kind of stuck.
Basically, you find out the only people that can contain this deep evil spirit is someone born on Christmas. And if he leaves, then all his family will die.
Right, it's not just him. It'll keep going until it gets tethered to something else. I think Constance Wu was in the last one.
She was.
The one before that was about...
The guy...
No, the three spirits, right? It was kind of a play on Christmas Carol. It's this Scrooge-type character who hates Christmas. He gets visited by these spirits who essentially show him his past, and it shows him dying alone, and it's like eating his corpse, and he's like withering and bugs are all on him. It's really gross, and he sees the error of his ways, but it's full of like little jokes and funny bits throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, pretty forgettable.
It wasn't super special, but
nah, it wasn't. But the last one with Constance Wu.
So she goes over to her boyfriend's house, who does not want to celebrate Christmas.
Right.
And he's like, you can't come over. And you see him, he's got like chains and stuff. And she comes in and with her friends, and she's like, we brought Christmas to you. And then all of a sudden she goes outside and she's like abducted by aliens. And he's like, I tried to tell you, they do this every year. They abduct me and they spend Christmas with me every year. I don't know why. They always dress me in weird clothes and give me presents, and it's weird. And you can't ask them why they're doing it, because then they get mad.
And now she's just like stuck in this loop. Every time she tries to walk out of the door, she ends up back in that room. She gets a sweater and they ask her if she likes it. She says, yeah, I like it. And then like the very next scene, like every single one of these alien friends is wearing this ugly ass Christmas sweater. We find out that they actually just really want to spend Christmas. They want to enjoy that festivity, kind of an Earth tradition. The aliens end up leaving these two friends
to celebrate
together. And that's really sweet. But Constance Wu is the friend who kind of stumbles in. And I think that it's a small role, but she does good work with it.
Yeah, she does good work. Like I said, we've seen most of her main roles, so.
There were a couple of them, like there was an animated one we could have seen, and there was a couple of smaller works, but.
This one looked fun.
And
I liked it overall.
Yeah, you love anthologies, you love horror, so it was naturally going to be up your alley. But in the end, it keeps flashing back and forth to this couple in the theater, and at this point pretty much everyone's gone because it's not a very good play. There's only one guy there, and this whole time he's been kind of eyeballing the girl, being creepy and staring at her and stuff. The guy runs out for a phone call, and they start the new play, and it's To All a Good Night, so it's the very last one. It's literally a play of these two characters going to attend the play.
Right.
And verbatim, it's going back over their conversations, what they've been through. The girls in the audience freaking the fuck out, like, oh my god, what's happening? And on stage, they flash to the boyfriend, and he's like, yeah, it hasn't happened yet. We'll plan on doing it right after the play. Like, so we don't know what's gonna happen, but it sounds like, you know, they're gonna murder her or something.
Right.
It's kind of the...
It's super creepy. Well,
that's the idea we get.
He, like, flashes to some like, weird demon spirit-looking thing. And also, we forgot that one of the little stories was that weird Rudolph revenge thing, where he hits a deer with his car.
Oh, see, I completely forgot about that one.
I think it's like Dasher or something. Yeah. And he like stabs it to kill it, and then it comes after him and like kills his
and like impales everybody.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Just a murder reindeer. It was a fun anthology.
It
was definitely on theme, but for me, I could have done without it. It wasn't that great, but for what it was okay.
I mean, it was an okay thing. It was kind of just a nice, like, let's just watch this. It wasn't super long.
Yeah, it was easy to kind of follow along to. Constance Wu specifically, how would you rate her performance?
I mean, I think she did a good job. I would give her a 3.5.
I'd give her a 3. It was a small role. There wasn't a whole lot of nuance to it.
I think this was one of her very first roles, so. I liked in her little scene, though, they had, like, that nice, like, werewolf playoff. Like, you think he's about to be a werewolf, because there's kind of like, oh, look, there's a full moon, and he's got chains.
Yeah.
And then it's not.
It's an old switcheroo. The last movie on our list is called Bombshell, and it's actually based on a true story with Roger Ailes at Fox News, and how there was a big sexual abuse scandal with him and all of the beautiful young ladies he employed over at the Fox News station. I'll preface this by saying I don't watch Fox News, really, but I did hear about this when it went down back in 2016.
I just want to preface it with, it's some garbage. I'm going to spoil it because, I mean,
it's real life.
Basically, after they come out and say all these people are sexually abusing these women, they just pay them off. And they just, like, fire them and pay them.
Yep.
Like, a lot of money. Millions of dollars. I wish I could sexually abuse someone and get away with a $65 million paycheck.
Break the law, make some money.
I don't even think they even went to jail.
I don't think so either, but two people were really caught up in it. Roger Ailes was the big one, but so was Bill O'Reilly. They were both kicked out of Fox News. The main idea is that in order to get ahead at Fox News, you have to be young and blonde and attractive, and you have to be willing to
show your legs.
Compromise your self-worth.
He basically does these auditions in his office where he's like, all right, get up and twirl around. And it's a little creepy, but it's whatever, because like, they are on air talent. You want to see what they're going to look like right on air.
But based on how far they want to go in the company is how much they actually have to do to or with Roger.
And Nicole Kidman's character is basically, like, she is not pretty enough, according to him. And she, basically, she won't. I mean, I assume she won't give him a blowjob. I mean, I assume that's what it is.
Right.
And so he not only takes her off of her original job and moves her to, like, this crappy show, but then eventually he fires her altogether, and she just kickstarts this...
Because
she knew she was going to get fired.
Right, so she was talking a lot of shit on her show. She was pushing the boundaries of what Fox probably wouldn't be okay with. Like, one day, for, like, National Feminism Day or something, she just goes on without wearing makeup, and he loses his mind. He says, "You wear makeup, you're the product, right? Everybody wants tits and ass, and you're just not going to be good for anything unless you put on makeup," and blah, blah, blah.
Turns out she's been recording his conversations with her for over a year.
Yeah, and she's talked to lawyers, outside firms, third-party investigators. She knows that something's up, and if she plants the seed, surely more people will come forward.
We picked this movie because Kate McKinnon was in it. We've seen a lot of her other stuff, but there were so many women in this movie that we respect. There was Charlize Theron as the main character.
She played, like, Megyn Kelly, I think. Mm-hmm.
Margot Robbie was in this. Like I said, Nicole Kidman. And also, there was all these side, like, smaller parts, like Ashley Green was in it. Bridget Lundy Payne, remember from Atypical?
Yeah.
She was in it.
There's also the lady from the Santa Clarita Diet, too.
Mm-hmm. Liv Hewson? Mm. Hewson, I think.
Yeah.
Jennifer Morrison from, like, Once Upon a Time in the House. And Connie Britton and Allison Janney were in it. Like, they were all in it. And, I mean, there were more, but that's just people that we know.
Right, but there were a couple big male leads, too, but... I was really impressed by the cast as a whole, even though I know you didn't really like the story of it all.
Well, it's not that. I was just really mostly irritated by the whole thing, because it is just this one long, like, criticism of how we treat women, but at the end of the day, they let the men get away with it. Like, it's this whole movie about how women should stand up for themselves, and how men are always trying to sexualize us and put us down and keep us from getting jobs even though we deserve them. And unless you, you know, give a guy a blowjob, you're not going to get that promotion. And then at the end of the day, yeah, they got fired, but they got away with a big severance check.
Right. And, like, no jail time or anything like that.
I'm sorry, but they should have gotten no pay. They could have fired them and not given them any money, and I think...
Right, because it would have been like a breach of contract or something. What really got me wasn't necessarily that part, was the culture within Fox News about, oh, we have to support him, Roger's our man. There was this huge campaign within the company to cover it up, to say, no, he never did anything like that to me. Even though we know for a fact that a lot of the women there actually did experience it.
Right, because they were all too scared to come forward.
And if they had, then, and it actually broke that, yes, he is doing this, then all women there would lose all credibility, right? They say every single woman at Fox News had to blow their way to the top, because that's what the news would say.
They end up giving all these settlements out to these abuse victims, and I feel like it was just paying them off to be quiet.
Hush money, for sure.
I mean, because it even talks about Nicole Kidman's character, literally, like, they give her money and stuff, and they're like, well, yeah, but you can't say anything. You can't confirm anything. It's basically hush money, and I just don't think you get the entirety of the injustice done in this.
But the beauty of it is that they did make a movie, and so it's like, really, who has the last laugh? Like,
still him. He still got that paycheck.
Yeah, he's laughing his way all the way to the bank. This all happened, like, in the heat of the 2016 primaries, and so it also lumps in a lot of the things that Trump said against women about, you know, how shaming them, name-calling, making fun of their periods, just all sorts of things that he did, and they're like, oh my god, people are eating this up.
I'm just saying, don't you remember in the last episode how we talked about, you know, women being abused and sexually assaulted and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it happens so often, and so often, exactly what happened in this movie continues to happen because those men got a slap on the wrist. And sure, those women got their hush money. If some new executive came in and started doing it, they're not going to tell, because look what happened. Like, no justice. So why would they tell? And the women that came forward, Megyn Kelly ended up having to quit Fox News. Really, what good did it come out of her coming forward to say she was sexually harassed?
It's like, sure, you get to say, hey, I took the high ground. I made a stand. But now you're also standing in, like, unemployment.
Exactly. So you can see how I think that what happened was unfair.
Now, I really did absolutely love Kate McKinnon in this. Because
her character was very complex.
She worked at Fox News because that's where she could get a job. Despite being a liberal, despite being a Hillary supporter.
And a lesbian.
She still lived her life as a Fox News personality. She wasn't on camera. She was behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, but she had to pretend she wasn't who she was.
Yeah, because Fox was the only job that would hire her. And after she got hired on at Fox News, any other interviews to get other jobs ended abruptly as soon as she said, I work at Fox News. Like, she was stuck there. She had no career decisions to make. She was stuck, even though she hated Fox News. I really liked that. I'm not even sure if Kate McKinnon's character was based on a real character.
I don't know, but I will say,
but it was good.
Her character also was kind of garbage, though, because she was, like, having, like, a thing with Margot Robbie's character, and then Margot's like, oh, I got called up to the next to the second floor, which is where his like offices are. Mm-hmm. And she knew what was gonna happen, and then Margot tried to tell her,
and Kim McKinnon's like, no,
don't involve me,
I don't want to lose my job, whatever happens with you on the second floor,
that's your business
and I'm not gonna get involved.
And like later she says she's sorry that it happened, but like she's only sorry that it happened. She didn't help her. She didn't stop it.
Yeah.
They all knew what was going on.
Very, very complicit in the whole thing.
My problem with it is that I don't want to say probably. It is still happening in offices in this country. There are still places like that where women, you know, are not allowed to say anything because if they say that they're sexually harassed by the boss, they're going to lose their job.
And I will say, this isn't just conservative bashing either. I mean, Harvey Weinstein was a big Hollywood elite. Matt Lauer, he was a personality. I'm assuming it's not a conservative station. It's like, no. NBC, right? So it's across the board men taking advantage of women because of their place of power. It was just because it was such a big newsworthy thing at Fox News that they made this movie. And I enjoyed the movie, but it was a bit,
it just made me angry.
Kate McKinnon,
what
did you do a good job?
Yeah, she did a good job. She always does a good job.
Yeah.
Very funny.
She is very funny. And in this, like, even though her role was fairly small, I'd probably give her like a 4 out of 5. Like,
I give her 3.5.
She played a good role. A small role.
I wouldn't say it was like groundbreaking or
anything.
It was
an important role. It was good to kind of balance out the other characters. Speaking of Fox News, I'm going to get on a soapbox really quick. Election's coming up. A lot of you have already early voted. It's very, very important. Regardless of your politics, go out, vote. It's your civic duty. And if you're going to vote in person, be safe, wear a mask, and stay away from the other voters because you don't want to get sick because of an election.
I do want to just make a note that if this episode seems like it's not as good as some of the past, I'm sorry. We had a really long weekend. One of our dogs got really sick. She ended up with an infected uterus, and we couldn't afford to take her to the emergency vet, and so we kind of had to give her antibiotics and nurse her all weekend, which kind of threw our filming recording schedule off pretty bad. She did go into surgery this morning, and this morning that we're recording it, and she is okay, but it was pretty stressful.
Yeah, the time that we kind of had slated to watch a lot of shows and movies and film, it turned into a love on our puppy kind of weekend.
I kind of knew that, like, an unspayed dog could get an infected uterus, but I didn't realize how high of a risk it was. So if you have a female dog that isn't spayed, definitely take them and get them spayed as quickly as possible.
Because I thought it was a matter of getting pregnant, right? I didn't know that this was such a highly occurring disease.
It occurs in roughly 25% of 1 in 4 unspayed dogs, and it was not fun. There were moments when I thought we were going to lose her.
Yeah, she went through a couple of rough moments where breathing was hard and she was very lethargic. And, you know, we fixed our boys. Like, we have 1 boy and 3 girls. So by fixing the boy, we thought, well, at least we won't have any surprise puppies and they can just live their lives going into heat just like normal dogs.
Well, I know when they're younger, I mean, sometimes you want to leave them unfixed for a little bit, especially as they're developing. Apparently, when they become middle to age to older, this becomes a really high probability right. thing.
Because their body is preparing for a baby over and over and over again. And because it's not, it becomes open to bacteria, and that grows into an infection.
It's not a pretty penny. It's going to cost us like $1,000, whereas getting your dog fixed runs you about $100. So just a PSA, spay and neuter your dogs, everybody. I mean, talk to your vet about your options, but it's not fun. It was very scary, and I haven't slept a lot, so I apologize. Episode, we weren't even sure if we were going to put it out, honestly. Like,
yeah.
We were talking about delaying it till the next week.
Yeah, no, I know I was kind of rambly and tired, and I went off on tangents, and Brittany, I know that you've been irritable lately because of the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
So, hopefully...
It was like having a baby. I was...
So, do you want baby now?
No. I was up till like 3 in the morning every night. And then every time she would move, I would wake up. And like, she was peeing a lot. So, I would get up with her every time she peed. And just like... Because we put a pad down so she could pee inside because it was rainy and stuff. Like, I would get up and I would just follow her around. And like, we took her everywhere we went this weekend. And she was probably like, what is going on?
They're pampering me. They're giving me chicken nuggets. Oh my God.
And I don't feel very good. And it was one of the scariest things that's happened to us in a long time.
Yeah, a big scare.
Like, I mean, they've been sick. Dogs get sick. Dogs get colds. All of ours have really bad seasonal allergies, and they sneeze, and their eyes water all fall. This was really scary.
Luckily, we were able to watch our movies and get this out roughly on time for you. And moving forward, we're hoping that the next few podcasts are a little more exciting. Season 2 is going to be coming to a close very soon. On the schedule for Real Romance, the next one is going to be our Stream Mini, which is going to cover a lot of spooky type shows. They're not all horror. Some of them are a little more fantasy. Some are like documentary type things.
But they're still spooky.
Yeah, they're all kind of based in horror, murder, things like that.
They're all haunted-y.
Yeah, but they're very different. And so I think y'all are really going to enjoy this upcoming Stream Mini. And then we're going to talk about the movies that come out as always. We're going to have a third theme mini, which we honestly have talked about, but do we have one nailed down?
We played around with this idea of doing sports stars and into movie stars.
Right.
I think that's where we sit with it.
That might be where we do our November theme mini.
And then our regular themed episode will be B-horror movies.
Right, so...
Bad B-horror movies, right, to be specific.
So, two main criteria. One, has to be less than 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, or Metacritic, or whatever you use.
Two, has to be over 10 years old.
Right, and so that way we can kind of call it a cult classic or an underrated... And some of them are probably just going to be really, really bad.
We've got a lot of ideas.
Yeah, there's probably like 20 movies on the list, so we're really going to have to like whittle down what we want to watch. Wolf Cop probably isn't going to make the list.
It looks terrible.
It does look terrible, but that's the point of the podcast.
I know we're going to watch Blood Diner. So if you have any suggestions for that, send us. And as always, please rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on all forms of social media, Real Romance UCB and on Twitter, Real Romance on TikTok and Instagram.
We have a Facebook page too.
We have our email address, realromancepod@gmail.com. My Instagram is booknerd528. Your Twitter is bamfingbob.
Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly on Twitter, and so feel free to reach out, and I'll be happy to answer any of your queries, comments, concerns,
if you memes. Have suggestions for future episodes, please let us know. We're more than happy to be like, oh, hey, a movie to check out. We'll check it out and watch it and talk about it.
Yeah, and especially going into season 3, we're going to be kind of looking at the formatting, looking at the kind of content we give. And so the more input that we have from our listeners, the better and more refined that content will be.
Now, I know next Friday, the 30th, we will not have an episode out. It's a fifth Friday of the month. We will be skipping a week.
And so we're just going to focus on Halloween-y shit.
It will give us more time to cram in more streaming for you.
Yes.
And that's all we got for you guys today.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Real Romance Podcast, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends.